Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome, everybody, to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. I am Sin City Steve, being joined, as always, by Rob Bossolari.
Yo.
What the hell is going on, Rob? How are you?
I'm okay. What's going on is a week of mediocre wrestling.
Hey, man, at least it was a week of wrestling. You know, I mean, we had a lot to keep us busy this week, though.
But yeah, you know, it's a Super Bowl week, so they get a pass, right? Is that the idea?
Well, at least in their minds, they get a pass. But in any event, let's just go ahead and just start talking about AEW this week. They were in Las Vegas. They were at the Palms, at the Pearl, and they were doing their thing. Recorded both Collision and Dynamite this Wednesday. And yeah, man, it was a pretty solid show. I know that obviously you had prior commitments, and we'll talk yes. about that. But, yeah, we'll get a full report later on. But as far as this episode of Dynamite, realistically speaking, you know, you had some newsworthy things, to say the very least. Most of all, the Andrade segment where before the match, even during the match, he goes out and he, you know, kind of rizzes up somebody in the front row. Turns out that person is an OF model. And she then posts to her Instagram how fake AEW is. So obviously they might need to rethink the way that they're doing this shit with Andrade, with these randoms, as opposed to him, you know, using obvious plants in the crowd that are workers.
Do you remember years ago when Jericho and MJF were leading two different sides of factions against each other, the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle? And then there's a picture that Urban Meyer posts, the manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars at the time, showing them all behind the scenes with Tony Khan watching the monitor. And all I could think is, how do you let that shit through the filters? If you're going to have a plant, she needs to know what the game is.
Exactly.
I'm tired of this shit that, you know, everything has to be gritty and real. I don't want gritty and real in my wrestling. If you're putting a chick out there as a plant, I don't want to know about it.
Yeah.
I'm not watching the Marvel movies to see the uncut green screen bullshit behind the scenes. I don't give a fuck. Oh, look at this. I got tennis balls on my head. Oh, I got ping pong balls. Oh, look at it. They got me on two harnesses. Oh, wow, this is funny. I don't care.
Absolutely. And Bionic Scoop chimes in. First off, what's up, Scoop? Good to see you again, as always. He says, it was great until they moved me three times. Bionic Scoop had quite an eventful Wednesday. And just go follow him on his social medias. And yeah, he had quite an eventful Wednesday, as I said, for AEW Dynamite and Collision. Elsewhere in the episode of Dynamite, we did see some local talents featured. So props to Jordan Oasis and props to Brittany Brooks for going against Orange Cassidy and Tony Storm. And then during Collision, props to Brittany Brooks for technically main eventing the entire taping by getting squashed by Tekla at the final thing that they recorded on Wednesday. But let's launch into it. The main event on Wednesday was,
that wasn't
Ricochet. Not Ricochet. But it was Brody King and MJF in an absolute fucking squash match. Dude, as soon as the bell rang, you knew something was going to happen because Hangman Page's music hits and he comes out and acts as a distraction, acts as fucking straight out WWE distraction. Yeah, Max turns around, faces Hangman, gets caught in that choke over the ropes, and gets hit with a cannonball, then a gonzo bomb. 1, 2, 3, Brody King squashes MJF. But even that was not what took all the all of the highlights and the headlines this week. It was what happened before the match as Justin Roberts was doing the ring introductions and the Las Vegas crowd launched into an extremely loud chant of "fuck ICE" repeated. Yep.
I thought you were going. I didn't know if you were going to talk about that.
I'm talking about it. We're not chiming in with political beliefs or takes on it. It happened. Quite honestly, it was one of the louder chants that I've experienced in a professional wrestling venue of that size. So the great thing about this country, whether you agree with the chant or not, is the fact that they are able to voice those voices of dissent. They are able to speak freely, and it is all freedom of speech. I will 100% support that until the very end, because that is one of the core things that makes this country so great.
With that said, yes, that look from MJF. MJF, first, another thing, why does every guy have to have a fucking beard now? But I digress. MJF sells it.
Yep.
The look on his face. MJF is always has great camera awareness, ring awareness, very, very, very good. The fact that they paused it, let the audience get it out there. If that were WWE, fuck ICE would be completely blurted out. Yeah. You would not have even heard ICE. Triple H ain't fucking around with that. He's not taking a chance on that. He has to make it Disney. This is the one thing I like about AEW. If you're going to get real, don't make it kayfabe real. Triple H tries to make real, and it's just looks silly because he's trying to make it look like he's not doing kayfabe, and it's a box within a box, and it ends up looking dumb. This was just something organic happened, and they ran with it. They gave it a minute. They gave it 10 seconds. Everything moved on its own. Yep. All right. What did it have to do with the match? Nothing.
Nothing. Well, keep in mind, obviously, Brody King is very outspoken in his opinions of ICE, so much so raising funds for abolish ICE and anti-ICE causes. So obviously there's a direct tie-in with Brody.
Fair enough. That's right. And if you've been here as a tourist in Las Vegas and you've gone to Fremont, there are people protesting. Which Vegas, that's a whole nother conversation, but I digress. It was an organic moment and, it happened.
Yeah,
it happened. And back to the matter at hand, which is MJF getting choked out and dropped out of the damn ring. Yeah.
That looks awesome. That honestly, that is a meme template just waiting for some input.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That is a perfect meme. But also him getting choked out is a good meme. We're bringing that one back up. Him dangling off the Yeah, that's great too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He sells it. The stiff is a board, and then he just looks like it's sick, but he reminds me of Joe Pesci getting thrown in the grave in Casino.
I was just saying he was out immediately. Like Brody puts on that sleeper and he's out. It wasn't anything where he was like, you know, choked out or anything. It was comical because literally as soon as he locked it in, it was over. Like he was out. But yeah, Brody King squashes MJF. And,
now, devil's advocate. Yeah. This is what's going to happen. MJF's going to beat the shit out of him somehow. Now, MJF is going to come out and go, "Hey, bro. Hey, what's up, Brody? Yeah. Oh, you choked me out there, bud. Hey, I want to end the match early. I just fell. Okay. It's called acting. Okay. Something I'm really good at, bro. It's all he has to say. And that's how he sells it.
Well, it's obvious that you didn't see Collision on Saturday because he had a much different tone to a promo. But we'll talk about that.
I didn't see Collision.
Very, very much incensed. You know, I've posted this image just three times in error. Let's just briefly talk about it. Oh, yeah, Ricochet beat Jungle Jack Perry to retain the national championship. It was a solid match. Ricochet is doing some of the best character work of his entire career right now, if not the best character work that the guy has ever done. Completely revitalized his character. Elsewhere on this show, we did have a banger trios match, Death Riders versus the Don Callis family. You had the Don Callis family picking up the win, actually, in this trios match. Keeping them strong, man. Takeshita looked like a freaking killer, as always. And it was announced on Collision that we would get that rematch with Takeshita and Moxley at Grand Slam Australia. So, yeah, that's pretty awesome there. We did also have a bit of an upset as the Babes of Wrath lost in the AEW Women's Tag Team Championship Eliminator match to Mega Bad. And yes, these Eliminator matches, they mean something. And I think that it's great because you can take somebody and an act like Mega Bad, Megan Bain, Penelope Ford, and you can have them get one key win, which will instantly make them into a contender for this championship. So it is adding an element of unpredictability, which has been sorely lacking. I will definitely mention more of that here in just a second when we talk about Collision, which was a fun show live, but as has become the case with Collision, unpredictability is not something that goes hand in hand with an episode of Collision. But that being said, elsewhere on this show, Hangman Page beat Mark Davis in a match that Mark Davis has never looked this good in an AEW ring, but this match went way too long. You have a guy who has not been anything in the singles ranks and just finally started to get his footing underneath of him as a tag team guy, going against Hangman Page, a former multi-time world champion, one of the current trios champions, and let's be real, the main character of AEW. This match went like 12 to 15 minutes, and it had no reason to go that long. This match should have been maybe 8 at the most, and that was it.
One commercial break, pretty much maybe dead. But all we were doing was setting up for the fucking clothesline. His finisher, and that was all it really came down to. The buckshot lariat. We were just waiting for the buckshot lariat, and every other spot in between was just filler for Mark Davis.
Yeah, absolutely. And, turning over now to talking about Collision, which on paper looks like a great show, which it was a fun show to be at, without a doubt. You've got matches on here like Kevin Knight versus Scorpio Sky. Clearly, you can tell who's going to win that match.
It's going to be Scorpio Sky.
Right. And, it was a very fun match. I just wish that there was some shred of suspension of disbelief. And thinking that, for instance, in another match, yet again, Skyflight, who were very quickly becoming the resident Collision job squad, as they lose in a mixed tag match, Zeta Steel and Dante Martin lose to Wheeler Yuta and to Marina Shafir. Again, you can tell who's going to win every single one of these matches just by the match itself. Mina Shirakawa versus Viva Van. I don't think Viva Van has ever won a match on AEW TV. And Viva's awesome, but she's never won a match in AEW proper. So it's misleading, you know. I really do wish that we could have some shred of unpredictability on Saturdays. That could make the show even better. The parking lot brawl, incidentally, was not shown to us live. So that was something that we witnessed for the first time on Saturday, watching the telecast. But it was a very solid match. Obviously, you know, the fun stuff that we'll be talking about later. The weapons were crazy. There was obviously the Rascals were involved. So there was the stretch limo with strange smoke coming out of the back seat. Obviously they played that up. Part of the match involved various participants in the match literally going inside of the stretch limo and then coming back out, feeling the effects. It was pretty funny. But anytime that you can mix the comedy with the violence, I'm good with it. Just don't take it overboard. But solid stuff. Eddie Kingston and crew pick up the win, of course. The Young Bucks beat GOA as if anybody could have ever thought anything else was going to happen. In the main event, the three-way match for Tommaso Ciampa's TNT Championship, you had Roderick Strong and Claudio Castagnoli. Dude, this was it was a Ring of Honor dream match. Three Ring of Honor pillars, and they got in there, mixed it up. One thing that was really cool, Claudio, being the CMLL World Heavyweight Champion, is now embracing his lucha and coming to the ring wearing a lucha mask. So that's kind of cool, given the fact, hey, motherfuckers, he is the World Heavyweight Champion of CMLL, the oldest Lucha Libre promotion on the planet. Yes, he's going to come out. He's going to wear a mask, which he takes off.
Who did MJF lose that belt to? Because he was the CMLL champion for a minute. I threw a monkey wrench in. Yeah, the whole flow. Because not too long ago, MJF had it. See, the reason why I bring that up is
I don't know why I had a brain fart with this, but it was fucking Mystico.
Oh, right. All right. Mystico. That's right. Yeah. They did promote that match heavily.
It was the title versus mask.
Here's the thing. If they're going to do that, and with AAA and WWE, they've drawn their lines. I don't know. I feel like they're not cross-promoting that as well. And that's for WWE and AAA and CMLL and AEW. I feel like the cross-promotion's not there. I should be more invested in these matches. I don't know. I'd like to maybe see, and I'm sure Matt would sit there and he's growling, he's popping a stitch somewhere. But maybe have an AEW belt defended on CMLL, or a WWE belt defended on AAA. Because if you're gonna have it, I mean, with WWE they own AAA. But CMLL is still just an association. But make there be more of an investment. I mean, same with Ring of Honor. There's zero investment in Ring of Honor. They come up, but they never go. There's no reason to go down.
And really quick, Scoop does chime in. I didn't want to correct you. I figured I'd let one of the viewers do it.
Oh, okay. I thought he was.
Says, yeah, well, what they did was they rebranded the title.
Yeah.
So that when he carried it in AEW for the time that he did, it would have more prestige than if he was to carry the World Lightweight Championship. So, anyway.
And he made it an American belt. He put the stars and stripes on it. So I took that. Good job on the branding. Chris Natlander, I didn't see that part of Collision, and she bores me.
It's going to be her versus Tekla in a strap match.
Bored.
You had Tekla come out and spear Stat out of her boots, and then whip her with a strap. So, yeah, we're going to get those two women slapping the shit out of each other with a belt on Wednesday.
I would dare say that at some point soon, they're going to have to put the belt on, you know, Willow Nightingale. And the reason
I
why
mean, she already has the TBS title, bro.
Right. But
and the tag titles.
Right. But at the end of the year, mm-hmm. put the women's world heavyweight belt on her. She is the only one who has wrestled all of these heavyweight champions and held her own and win. Yeah. And she's the only one of that group that's entertaining enough and can cut promos. The only women right now that they have that can cut promos is Willow Nightingale, Harley Cameron, Toni Storm, Mini Shirakawa, maybe, and maybe, if she ever shows up, Mercedes Moné.
Well, she's taking some time off so that she can drop all those championships. Yeah. So once she comes back, after losing all those titles, then she'll be, you know, she'll have her babyface redemption arc.
Exactly. She'll be a babyface. But I, Chris Statlander's a person I... Was she an alien? No. When she was an alien, that was kind of cool. When she was an alien, it was kind of cool, and she was a little out there in space, spacey. When she's just a random Long Island person with a chip on her shoulder, I don't know. I don't know, but that's me. There's nothing. She's not connecting with the audience. Young Bucks, heels, baby faces, they always connect. Grizzled Young Vets, Big Bill Brian Keith. Nope. Tekla is your obnoxious old aunt who's a hipster. And, you know, I don't give a shit. Wheeler Yuta is as shitty as his gimmick. But if he ever went babyface, I still wouldn't give a shit. And Danny Garcia also. He's got nothing going on. Scorpio Sky's got nothing going on. Viva Van. Filler. Kevin Knight. Yeah. Not bad.
They're building Kevin Knight, so
not bad. Tommaso Ciampa, not bad. Roderick Strong, him being a grouch, okay. Claudio saying not jack end over shit, it works. He doesn't always have to speak.
Absolutely. Fine. Absolutely. So Rob, I've got to ask, man. What exactly do you think it would take for Wheeler Yuta to get over with the fans? Maybe a change of appearance.
Wow. Now, as I understand the rules on this, only the person who gets pinned gets shaved, correct?
The person who takes the fall. So at Grand Slam Australia, it is Orange Cassidy and Timeless Toni Storm versus Wheeler Yuta and Marina Shafir. And the person who takes the losing fall gets their head shaved. So on this graphic, we've got what could be the case. One of these four are going to get their head shaved. Who you got, Rob? Who's going to be joining you in the bald brigade?
I'm not going to build it up. I'm going to say Toni Storm.
Okay.
And the reason why I would say Toni Storm is because it's the one that nobody would want to have to eat the pin. And also it allows her to get rid of the timeless Toni Storm character and break off into something new.
Or she could have a shitload of fun with 8 million different wigs.
That's another idea.
And she could just ratchet it up and just, like, you know, take it up level by level by level by level and, you know, set up something for, you know, some kind of a major thing sometime down the road.
It's going to be one of the two women, because if it's Marina Shafir, she comes out with the rest of the Death Riders and they all look alike bald. The three main ones.
Look how fucking terrifying she looks at being bald in this image.
That would be fucking savage.
I'm fucking scared. Like, I'm low-key scared. I don't know.
And she's kind of hot. Man. Like, bald, not bald. Oh, my God.
Anyway,
like, oh my God. Like,
before we need to, before we need to get you a towel, let's pivot a bit. Let's talk about that other wrestling promotion and talk about SmackDown from Friday. Rob, give me a report, man. Let's hear what went down.
Shinsuke Nakamura. Let's get there. I don't like good guys and veteran guys jobbing, and they used him to put Tama Tonga over. And I get it, coming off the match that he had with AJ Styles, you would think that would add something to Tama Tonga. I felt it didn't. There were some great spots here, but he doesn't look like he's at his best Tama Tonga. And without a definitive belt on him, per se, I don't see what we get out of this. I don't know if what you think on that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, obviously, Nakamura is nearing his end with WWE. So I think that he is, unfortunately, in that role of putting over younger talents. I do think that, you know, having him go over Tama Tonga, or having Tama Tonga go over him, is really cool for older New Japan viewers. Seeing these guys mix it up one more time, except again in a WWE ring, and of course with Tama picking up the win. Unfortunately, this is what Nakamura is going to be from now on. He's not going to have any kind of a crazy run. He will be used to help others get over.
Enhancement talent. The thing what I was observing, one, his physique is he never had a super chiseled physique, Shinsuke Nakamura, but he did look, you know, not in his physical best. However, his set,
he looked good.
His move set was great. He looked like Shinsuke Nakamura, wrestling wise, appearance, like in ring gear, and also his moves were a lot better than when he was just relying on like fucking poison mist nonsense, and laying in on the heavy Japanese tropes. I was really impressed to see him actually fighting at a much better level. The triple threat match, the qualifying match. Aleister Black is garbage now. They've literally, he's gum. He's a turd on their soles of their shoes.
That oh shit!
Raping out on the floor.
Damn, dude.
And Zelina Vega. And why is that? Not because they don't have talent. Zelina Vega is supposed to be the underdog who wins, and she's spicy, and she's supposed to be like the spicy Puerto Rican underdog, especially with the shit going on right now. Not, and I don't want to make it political, but with everything going on with ICE, and you just had the bad bunny of the Super Bowl, they should have put her in and put her in a position to be an uplifting character. They could have milked that for everything it was worth. If they were smart, they would have gone that route. They would have said, hey, we're going to have a positive Puerto Rican role model instead of making her a valet, which she's shitty at this stage in her career. She doesn't need to be a valet. She's too talented in the ring, and she's decent on a mic. She gets into like really close to being excellent, and then they pull the rug out from under her, and they have her just doing that bullshit where she'll start to cut a promo on week one, and then on week two, she'll just break out to screaming and yelling, and then they have to break her apart. She's more talented than that. I honestly would like to see her in TNA, where she might be able to rebrand herself and figure out a persona.
Yeah.
Figure out a persona, because she's so good.
Well, the only thing that I would say is, realistically, I think that she might like the fact that she can travel with her husband at all times now.
Sure.
So you kind of have to look at everything from not just an on character or on screen character,
but reality.
But you have to look at it from a logistics perspective, as it may work out for those performers
of course,
travel together. So as a result, you know, it may be
Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green. It's Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green. And Matt Cardona probably said, hey, if you're going to take me seriously, then I'm Matt Cardona and I'm not Zack Ryder anymore. I built up.
Yes.
And that was good. Good for him. And by
the way, agreed.
If he's an enhancement talent guy and maybe you toss him in a U.S. belt once in a blue moon, I'm okay with that.
That was the level that he was at before he left, or before he was fired, I should say, from WWE.
I'm okay with that.
So, yeah.
But Aleister Black, first of all, he's dark, and I always look at, for instance, I look at the Wyatt Six as being like not quite dark, but almost still borderline comical. I don't know if they should cross paths, but something has to be done with Aleister Black, because all he is now is an angry guy with a blue contact lens. He's no longer a... That was part of an old storyline, which they is no longer there. He should not do that. He should just come out and wrestle. He should just come out and straight up wrestle. And then when he starts to lose, then break out the he's a demon bullshit. But right now, he's worthless. And Damian Priest is annoying the shit out of me, too. He's sitting in the back, and he's just talking stuff. They have him out there with R-Truth, and he's R-Truth's handler when Drew McIntyre walks by. Drew McIntyre exchanges words with R-Truth. These are people that are being wasted that have talent, and it annoys me. By the way, Drew McIntyre is still, Damian Priest is still supposed to be goth, right? Aleister Black is supposed to be some sort of goth. Pair him up. Make him a tag team with Rhea Ripley down the road. She's eventually going to either go up or go down. Put them together. Have a faction with them. Make it the second coming of the Judgment Day. Do something with these people.
Yeah.
And Zelina Vega. Now you have two.
Why not?
There you go. Now you have a new faction.
Yep. I get it, man. And, you know, the thing that astounds me is, you know, it's... The grass is not always greener on the other side. And no matter how much we see it from, you know, Rusev's 30 seconds in the Royal Rumble in Riyadh to what Aleister Black has become, I don't know, man. The grass is not always greener on the other side, like I said. It's not a good situation, but
no,
at the end of the day, as long as those performers are happy, then that's really what matters. And that's all that should matter. But
was Aleister Black happy in AEW? Was Miro happy in AEW? No, they were not.
That's the thing. They've said that they were not. So, you know, they're probably in the best place for them at this time.
Question. And, you know, this part of the thing is you were not happy in AEW when you had screen time, but now you're in WWE and you're happy when you're in the background sitting at Craft Services, you know, doing, they don't even have that many house shows anymore. Right. So
they don't do house shows.
Exactly. So you're not being used at all. There's no Sunday night heat. There's no 205 live. Right. Nope. What is there?
Nothing,
you know? You might as well call yourselves Rockstar Spud.
Yeah,
Drake Maverick.
Such a great name, by the way. Such a great WWE name. Drake Maverick. That's
fucking terrible names they come up with. And then, of course, they go, well, it was my cousin who had a child, and the child was miscarried, and his name is going to be Drake, and he was going to be the Maverick of the family, and we were going to put all our hopes and dreams in him, and we were all living out in stains, and nothing worked out, so that's my name, is Drake Maverick. Hello, Mom. Sorry.
Speaking of hello, Mom, Randy Orton won that three-way on SmackDown, so he has qualified for the Elimination Chamber.
What do we do with Solo Sikoa now?
That's your guess as good as mine, man. He's just languishing in the mid-card.
He's another one, but at least he has like a mob boss persona to rely on. But I have a problem with the other triple threat match.
Let's talk about that.
Oh, for fuck's sake. First of all,
let's get this out of the way. Tiffany Stratton has also qualified for the Elimination Chamber. So she is the qualifier out of that match. Chelsea and Lash are shut out, at least until there's the second chance match, which it will inevitably be there the week before the pay-per-view. Or, excuse me, the premium live event.
All right. First things first. Lash Legend is doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
She's smooth in the ring. And I can also tell that they're letting Nia Jax tone up even more, build her on her physique. She's going to be going through different ring attire if that's the case. She's looking healthier every day. I'm not going to, make it a chauvinistic thing. She's looking healthier.
Yeah.
And she's going to be incredible when she comes to the other side of her journey. That said, the crowd was strongly behind Chelsea Green.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd was at their apex. WWE. There's something fucking innately wrong with them. Yep. Waiting so long to pull the trigger on people. I've said this time and time again. We've been watching this, and here's the thing, we're watching the show, right? And it, you know what it is? It's like if you're a fucking Republican and you're grinding your teeth, you're going, fucking CNN, they don't get it. Ah, Fox News, they don't get it. And you're a Democrat, and you're watching it because you're pissed off at how bad it is. But you have this person who the crowd has been firmly behind, and she actually wrestles well. She acts like she's an idiot in the ring. No, she has great ring awareness. She's had some of the greatest matches across professional wrestling, and she knows how to sell. When she takes the chest slap from Penta El Cerro Miedo in Lucha Underground, her words were, when she takes this wicked chop and she's grabbing her throat and she's dying, she goes, oh no, he didn't hurt me, but I'm not going to ruin his shtick. She's a professional through and through. She knows the business. Put the fucking belt on her. She's entertaining. Put the fucking, we gave her the mid-card, not the fucking mid-card belt. That's where that mush mouth up above and the panel up above who needs Kiana James to speak for her. I don't give a shit about Julia. Put the belt on fucking Chelsea Green. She's the reason why Matt Cardona's back on SmackDown. Let's not mince words. He's worked hard. He's earned a spot there, but she's the one drawing right now.
Yeah.
Hunter, Paul, people are paying money to see certain wrestlers perform. Now, sometimes you guys swerve us, and afterwards, like WrestleMania 39, you go, hey, how good did it feel to watch Cody fight his way through? And if I'm going back and looking at it, no, I didn't feel good about it. You had Solo Sikoa get ejected and show up again, which means nothing mattered. So instead of having somebody like a Nia Jax, 6 feet tall, come in and do a slap to the head or something. So for fuck's sake, I don't know what to tell you, but just fucking A, get it together. Chelsea Green is the one that we want to see with a goddamn big belt on her waist. Make it happen. I'm going to pull a Chelsea Green. I want to speak to the manager. I want to speak to the manager right now. Now, Tiffy time. When she won that match, nobody cared. There was dead silence. And then she started going, it's Tiffy time. I don't think she's bad. I don't think she doesn't have a catchphrase, which you need. But she's not nearly as entertaining as she thought she was. And the crowd has gotten tired of her. So, sorry. Once in a while, I got to get that rant out.
Yeah, no worries, man. It's, it needed to be said. It needed to be said. So I completely agree. Also,
your computer pulled a Matt Michaels.
Yeah, I know. It is what it is. So, what else with SmackDown stood out for you, bro?
Well, we had, not only did we have Liv Morgan, but we had Raquel Rodriguez show up, and Raquel Rodriguez accidentally kicks Liv Morgan in the head in an impromptu tag match against Jade Cargill, and who else was it? Because it was so predictable. Hold on now. Wait a minute.
I couldn't tell you that, bro. I couldn't tell you that.
You didn't see SmackDown.
I did not. I saw some of SmackDown.
Liv Morgan. It was Jade Cargill, and I forgot who the hell Jade Cargill's feuding with, who she's going to beat the shit out of for her belt. Oh, that was it. She was the Jordynne Grace. That was it. I had a brain fart. Jordynne Grace.
Good thing I decided to be here tonight.
Jordynne Grace is not out at the ring. It is Liv Morgan with Raquel Rodriguez, and they're talking shit, and out comes Jade Cargill. Now, the entire night, there was no Jade Cargill. I was actually wondering when she was going to make her appearance. So when Liv Morgan shows up, Jade Cargill made one of the most cinematic entrances ever. A storm is coming. She came out with the glitter. She looked like a snow globe. The swirling effects around her. She did the pose, and she came out, and everyone, oh, by the way, not bad, lost her fucking mind, lost their minds. People were starting to cheer for Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill has a look, and here's the thing. If Jade Cargill, as a super heel, fights another heel, I'm happy with that. I don't want her necessarily going against a babyface, which they'll probably do. There's a lot of time between now and WrestleMania. But watching her go against another fucking heel, Jade Cargill came into her element in that moment, looked at her and said, bitch, this is my shit. And then all of a sudden, then you had Jordynne Grace show up. Now, Jordynne Grace was always short, yes. But in TNA, she didn't seem that short until you put her up against Liv Morgan. And then you understood how pint size Jordynne Grace was. It's like, fuck, she's real little. And she's also not working out right now for any type of strongman competition. So this is the issue is she looks really, really small. And a match against her and Jade Cargill does not even look believable. Now, she's able to pull off suplexes. She's able to pull off the moves. But the big thing was Raquel Rodriguez accidentally high-kicking the shit out of Liv Morgan and face planting her ass.
Damn.
And so you see where they're going with this.
Yep. Absolutely.
The division's been sowed. Why did you do that? Now, Raquel Rodriguez sold it. Oh my God, what did I do? That combined with tonight where Dominic Mysterio kind of seems detached. He did tonight, chocolate. We'll get to that in a little bit. He did another obligatory, you know, I'm banging the shit out of mommy moment. But I'm seeing the dissolving of the Judgment Day. There really is nothing holding them together.
Right, yeah. Time. I mean, at this point, everything needs to just go.
Dissolve it. Just dissolve it. Just absolutely dissolve it. But yeah, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, and then of course, Kiana James and the crazy Japanese girl, Julia. They lose. They lose. And as for Carmelo Hayes beating up The Miz, nobody thought for a second that The Miz was going to beat Carmelo Hayes. So
absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will say this, though. I heard from some people that this was one of the best Miz matches in recent history. So this was one of the matches that I saw from SmackDown. Miz looked great in there with Carmelo Hayes. I don't think Carmelo Hayes gets enough love with just how good he is in the ring. We've said it several times, but the only thing missing for this guy is the mic work. If he gets put with somebody who can talk for him, or if he somehow lands the right character that he can suddenly, you know, breathe life into. I think they've got something with Carmelo Hayes, man. He's so good in the ring.
We saw for the men's, you know, qualifying match. We saw Trick Williams come out there with his lemon pepper steppers and stay, you know, sit out there. He comes out with swagger. Carmelo Hayes came out with swagger when he first came out. Part of it is your persona outside of the ring. And for some reason, they removed that from Carmelo Hayes. They kind of castrated his character. I don't know. He needs some sort of persona outside of the ring, but you can't have that now with Trick Williams there. You cannot have you cannot be black machismo, black swagger when you've got somebody with more swagger than you on your brand. I just don't. SmackDown is, you know what it really is? SmackDown is, it is still the show for Raheem, which I don't know where the fuck Cody came and goes, hey, there's the reason they call me Raheem. I'm surprised.
Bro, that's been a long running thing.
Yeah.
On the internet.
And the other thing is, you know, right now it is the show for Drew Galloway.
McIntyre.
Yeah. Well, no, he's Drew Galloway on TNA. Drew McIntyre. It's his show. And he's doing, there's too many big guys there, and the rest of them, there's no in between. There is no in between for the rest of that roster. Whereas in WWE Monday Night Raw, everyone seems to, for the most part, have a place, or they're not put on camera. Am I wrong on that?
I think that the use of talent is much more efficient on one show than the other, and it's glaringly obvious.
Because what do they do? What did they do with the Creed brothers? They're not on camera.
Nothing.
What is happening? If you're on that show, that means you're going to be used. We saw that tonight, and we'll get to that in a moment on Monday Night Raw when we discuss that. But if you're on, if you're seen on camera, you're being used. The rest of SmackDown, if you're on camera, you're not being used. No. Nope. Why is Damian Priest cutting promos in the back with R-Truth? Why are those two even a thing? Why does R-Truth no longer have hair? Why is the sky blue? Why is water wet? Why did Jesus speak to Romans? Why did Judas speak to Romans while Jesus slept? You know?
Exactly. The world may never know, man.
All right.
The world may never know. Let's also cap off SmackDown and talk about the women's tag team championships were retained by Rio.
Yeah.
Defeating Julia and Kiana James. Pretty simple, straightforward. Anything stand out to you on that match, Rob?
There were some great spots there, but no, I'm no here. And anything, if anyone just listens to me, and sometimes my thoughts or my memories and something are disjointed. If a match sticks out to my head, I will rewind it. Or if I'm watching or I'm distracted in the back room and I hear, oh my God, I'm rewinding 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. When something really impressive happens, I'll remember that there was something in that match that was really outstanding. I know those two are not going to win the belts. We knew that. And nothing stood out. Whereas the triple threat match with Chelsea Green, that stood out to me. Lash Legend getting better in the ring stood out to me. The spot where Liv Morgan ate a boot from her tag partner stood out to me. And by the way, when anyone comes to the ring to cut a promo in ring gear, I wonder what's going to happen. You're going to
be exactly. In the ring. Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So SmackDown was Friday. Today was Monday, and that is Monday Night Raw. Rob, talk to me about what went down on Monday Night Raw tonight.
All right. First things first, Maxine Dupri versus Natty. Natty looks absolutely vicious. She is completely taken on a brand new persona, and her facial expressions, she looks like a demon. This is great. Absolutely great. Like, you elevated Maxine Dupree to a main card person, or mid-card person, I should say. But somebody who deserves a TV time is what I meant. But Natty looks absolutely vicious. And I would love... I don't want to see Maxine Dupree get ice thrown on her. But at the same time, I want to see where you can take Natty now. This is a catch-22. What I would ultimately like to see is a triple threat match with Becky Lynch for her belt. I think that would be the best way to go about this, because Natty is supernatural now. And that would be a great catchphrase, because she looks supernatural. That pose that she is doing it throughout the entire match. She does the fucking cloverleaf, right? Mm-hmm. Right there on the announce table, just absolutely decimates, as they are saying, decimates Maxine Dupree, and Maxine Dupree had to be saved by Mrs. CM Punk.
AJ Lee
came out to the save, to help break it up. So really, really, really good stuff. And AJ Lee comes out there to respond to a over the top acting performance from Becky Lynch, who is just absolutely foaming at the mouth. Why? Because AJ Lee walked into the building. That was it. She walked into the building with CM Punk, held his hand. Becky Lynch walks in behind, sees it, and has a meltdown and goes, "You've ruined my life. You gotta leave. You gotta bloody leave." Now, AJ Lee has a faux pas, which I'm sure they said they addressed behind the stage. She goes, "You gotta leave." And she goes, "Well, what do you want to have a match with me?" Yeah, a match. So if I were to beat you in a match, would that make me the number one contender? And then Cole goes, "That's it, it's official. They're gonna have a match for the women's title." And I'm like, so I guess AJ Lee wanted an eliminator match.
Yep.
And what they should have done, which I would have been okay for, is if they played it a slight bit more intelligently, obviously she had a slip of the tongue. But I would have liked for them to have had an eliminator style match, because then it really elevates the belt and elevates the feud. And then, so remember what I said before, I wanted a triple threat. I don't think that AJ Lee is going to win. I don't think she's planning on having any long-term. It's just going to be a one-off. I would love to see Natty or somebody interfere, or just for, you know, for Becky Lynch to just do something crooked and underhanded and screw her. But she got in under her skin, got herself a match. Great. Let's get back to that graphic.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The tag team match between Alpha Academy and our Yeet brothers. Well, the Usos win, but my God, was that a great fucking match. And something, yeah. This was an amazing match. And all of the love in the world goes to Tozawa, who overperformed and outperformed. And that senton he got, that senton from the heavens that he got on Uso, where you think, oh, wow, he actually has a chance. That was a 2.999. When that match was over, Tozawa began to weep. He began to get very emotional. And my thought was, if I'm Tozawa, am I looking at this like this is my last real legitimate match? And I hope not, because Alpha Academy proved that they are a legitimate tag team tonight. And you know what? For what it's worth, they don't have shitty mic skills. They're not bad on the mic, and you're putting them out there. If not to support Maxine Dupree, but to put other people over, it's not like SmackDown. You're using them actively. I like Otis and I like Tozawa.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely, they are excellent in the ring and they have chemistry together. I would rather see them have the tag belts for a while. I would love to see it. And by the way, Tozawa is like my height, maybe even shorter than me. I want that body. I want to train with Tozawa. Like there's a new, you know what? They should have a train with Tozawa, like, you know, vignette.
And hell then, like, yeah,
the dance. But they've got a dance. They've got catchphrases. And apparently they said that the original El Grande Americano is a fan of Maxxine Dupri.
Mm.
They said something to that effect.
Interesting.
So I'm wondering, because Ivy Nile, she didn't win tonight. She's not going anywhere. She didn't win her triple threat. She's not going anywhere. The Creed brothers aren't going anywhere. They're not over. They have some cool moves in the ring, but they look like something out of the 80s, and it's not connecting with fans. So why not have El Grande Americano go back to the Alpha Academy, get back in their corner? I would like to see him have a mask for mask contest with the new El Grande Americano. They basically said that nobody likes original El Grande Americano. The new one is loved in AAA. He's loved in Mexico. So they're setting it up, mask for mask. You find out it's Chad Gable, and then he apologizes and reforms formally the Alpha Academy as a babyface group. You got to do it that way.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, man.
Absolutely. And then we have Braun Breaker. We got to get into that.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and just put this up there. According to Dave Meltzer, Braun Breaker actually already had successful hernia surgery when he toppled over the announce table. This was the exact moment in which he got said hernia. So all the best goes out to Braun Breaker. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery, because that stuff can suck.
He will be out for the foreseeable future. And when they say that, now here's the thing. We've heard this before with Seth Rollins. That could be a work.
Yeah, of course.
Because Dave Meltzer is not reliable. I will say this. If that is a work, you can only go back to that well so many times.
Correct. I don't think that it's legit. I believe the news report is legit. Because obviously, if you watch the clip, you actually do see him, the expression on his face slightly change. So something happens. Right. And also, obviously, I mean, you got to figure that there's something that they had in mind for Braun Breaker. As it sits right now, he's not factored into anything, which literally tells you that this is a shoot. It has right. to be a shoot.
Right.
Because otherwise they would have some other sort of storyline implication behind things that are going on right now. It's gotta be a shoot.
Tonight, what we do see is them splitting up the responsibilities. So they put Austin Theory in the triple threat match. So they're kind of making him the muscle of the group now. Which
Austin Theory is the muscle of the group. Oh Lord.
Okay. You've got but you've got the mic skills now being given over to Logan Paul. So Logan Paul. Yep. Logan Paul is the one now going over to Adam Pearce and talking shit. Logan Paul's the one who's out of control, and Mr. Tsunami has to drag him off. So hey, don't do it. So they're what they're doing is they're splitting Bron Breakker into each of his components and giving and splitting it up, leaving the other one as exactly as he was. So that's the only thing that leaves me to believe that Bron Breakker is really out.
Yeah, absolutely. And as the graphic shows that's on screen right now, LA Knight defeated Austin Theory and Penta to enter the Elimination Chamber after that dastardly masked man strikes again and attacks Austin Theory. So who we think it is, man? Who's the masked man?
It's got to be Seth frickin' Rollins. Why would you have anybody else? It's a stomp, and there's nobody left. That's it. If it's anybody other than him, holy shit, you got me. If it is him, yay. Why was he out? What was the? Oh, yes, right. He got speared to death.
Yeah,
that was the thing. He got speared to death. He's a dad with a toddler. Go be a dad once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mom's working. It's okay. She's the best. Everyone says so. It's not just her saying it.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Sounds like somebody I know.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. So, yeah, obviously, that was one of the qualifying matches. Let's talk about that women's qualifying match. What do you got to say about that, Rob?
I was playing Diablo 2. I wasn't paying attention. It was on.
Well, from what I've heard, you didn't miss much. Rhea Ripley qualifies for the Elimination Chamber, defeating Lyra Valkyria and Ivy Nile. And yeah, Ivy Nile is languishing squishy in the mid card, absolutely nowhere. Lyra, basically the same thing. And Rhea, yeah. I mean, she's got the tag team, but you're also going to put her in the Elimination Chamber. All right. Good to know, I guess.
Here's the thing. If I give that spot to Lyra Valkyria, it's wasted because she has no fucking mic abilities. She cannot be the kid sister character forever. She's not sure of herself. It comes across when she cuts promos. She sounds like a little kid. I don't know who coaches these people behind the scenes. I don't.
Yeah.
You know? Ivy Nile. Ivy Nile was only good when she was beating up on Maxine Dupri and when she was part of a faction. She's not super strong in the same sense that you have Jordan Grace's. Jordan Grace came from TNA with a built-up character. That's the beauty of TNA. TNA lets you get creative. TNA cuts more vignettes. They do more character development. Go. I don't know what it's going to take. But this whole idea that you're going to be a fitness instructor type personality, which is what all these fucking characters are. Maxine Dupri, Ivy Nile, and then Lyra Valkyria is, I'm Irish. Okay? You're Irish.
I'm a bird.
I'm a fucking bird, a black swan, okay? You know, like, I unless you're going to fucking scissor Mila Kunis, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care. Remember that Becky Lynch was the Irish last kicker. She did a little fucking Irish broke two-step bullshit. That went nowhere. Then she was steampunk. All right, steampunk and and she had the goggles. Not bad. And she still could have been steampunk to this day. And people would have still been behind her here and there. Then she took a fist to the face when she was in the middle of a heel turn and sold it. And everyone went, now she's Donald Trump. That's her character. She's Donald Trump. And as annoying as it is, it's gone from annoying to I like it now. It's gone. She's done it long enough where tonight I'm like, this woman is hysterical. When she had her last heel turn, annoying. just annoying, and there was no fruit on the tree. This is good. Her as Donald Trump is good. This is good. It's a lot better than her Star Trek role.
Well, I mean, you might not be saying much there, but
actually, I shouldn't say that because she's the only good thing in that show.
Ah.
So I'm going to say that. I'm going to put that for the record. I like you. I like that you're acting. I like that you're working. And I'm sure that you respect the people that you're working with and the work that they're putting in. That show sucks. Half of any podcast is opinions. My opinion is that show's fucking garbage. And your main character can barely speak English. And she's supposed she's an American.
She's an American. You know,
Holly Hunter cannot speak English.
Speaking of a very similar thing that overtook a major sporting event other than pro wrestling this weekend, a lot of people were complaining about certain people that didn't speak English. But yeah, in case you're under a rock or, you know, you just looking for specific times and dates, the Super Bowl was yesterday. And we would be remiss if we did not show some imagery from the game. So right here, we've got Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, and Kofi Kingston hanging out. Obviously, Kofi is an outspoken Patriots fan, rocking the Patriots gear. Was not a good evening for him. However, on the other side of the coin, two Seattle boys hanging out right on the field, basically. Much better seats than the WWE trio, it looked like.
Hold on. I'm going to Matt Michaels you right now. Those guys are sitting in chairs on the 10-yard line, it looks like.
Yep.
Whereas the other guys have box seats.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Private suite.
Oh, I'm well aware. But I'm saying if you're going to a game and you're an active fan of who's playing, suites are great. Suites are awesome. It's a once in a, you know, whatever experience. But I personally, I want to be down there as near the field as possible with the rest of the crowd, especially with most of that crowd being Seattle fans as it ended up being. Dude, that atmosphere, whew, if I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan, I want to be as near the field as possible.
Oh, that's right.
Hanging out with all the people.
Tacoma. He's from Tacoma.
Both Swerve and Darby are from the Seattle area.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so gotta love that, man. Those guys were hanging out.
So what you're saying is the winner was AEW.
No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that the winner was the Seattle Seahawks. And,
Hold on. Again. Hi, my name is Rob Bossolari, and I am a comedian, and I am a member here of the Vegas Bad Boys of Comedy. Now, I am not a pro NFLer, but what I will tell you is when you are a cornerback and you are throwing a football, the object of the game is to throw the football to members of your team, not to members of the opposing team. It's just a public service announcement for you guys over there in the Patriots. Throw the ball to the people wearing your uniforms, which, by the way, but that night were white uniforms. White uniforms. The other guys had navy blue uniforms with a hawk on the helmet. Just to clear that up in case, you know, you had the white uniforms. Baker May, right?
Drake May.
Baker Mayfield, Drake May. Yeah, I was close. You see, I'm allowed to make a mistake like that. You, on the other hand, are getting paid millions of dollars to throw the ball to the guys with your colored uniform.
Yeah. Exactly, man. Exactly. And as I mentioned, the game did not go without... without some interesting things. The halftime show featured a performance by Bad Bunny. which did raise some eyebrows for certain people in the country, as nary a word of English was spoken during the halftime show. Some people were vibing to the set. Some people liked it. Some people definitely didn't. As we saw by Jake Paul's tweets, we are not going to be putting those up here on the platform just because we don't need to. They are,
Was he apologized?
They are Jake Paul's own opinion. And as Rob so eloquently mentioned, he did apologize for his tweets. So, realistically, he's right here in this image, purposefully turning off the halftime show. It's very interesting. And a lot of people were pissed off with what he had to say, but his own brother did in fact speak out and shared some dissension from comments that Jake made. Logan says, "I love my brother, but I don't agree with this. Puerto Ricans are Americans," which they are. Newsflash, in case you're fucking stupid. Puerto Ricans are Americans, and I'm happy they were given the opportunity to showcase the talent that comes from the island. And if you don't like the show that's being broadcast, then watch something else. Whatever the situation is, like
watch a washed up rap rocker from the early 2000s fuck up lip syncing to his own song, which is what the Turning Point halftime show was. Kid Rock lip syncing to his own song.
Yep.
This is the ultimate second place prize. I am of the opinion that Jake Paul is working everyone. Oh. I'm of the opinion that you know damn well that you can be a conservative, but you can also go on to the polar opposite extreme and go for every horrible borderline racist trope that you can, and you always get spanked for it. Okay. Nicki Minaj is going to be a freaking, housekeeper next week. So this is what happens. So Jake Paul doing this in the climate that we are in right now means he is working people hardcore. He is working people hardcore.
That's just the thing, man. Speaking of working people hardcore, somebody might know a thing or two about that. And depending on some things that came out this week, maybe a little bit too much. And he's gone, ladies and gentlemen. Nowhere to be found. Where is this guy? I don't know, man. Well, you know what they do in the pro wrestling business when people don't hit their time cues.
Excuse me. You know what? I have the job of running the entire country, and just like I tell Melania, I'll come when I'm good and ready.
I'm sure you will, Mr. President. Thank you for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. So we had that horrible, horrible Super Bowl halftime show, and I had to watch it with subtitles. Okay, it's just so sad. How is it that in the United States of America, do we have to watch a show with subtitles? This is so horrible what they've done to this country, where they let these people, they come in off a river raft of a boat made out of a doorknob and a door or whatever the fuck. And then they come here and then they want to be called Americans. And this is just terrible what they're doing. And then they get the halftime show We've never had anything but Americans in a halftime show. Super Bowl 50, that was the most American group like of the likes never before seen, okay? I want Coldplay to come back for the Super Bowl 61 show. Those are real American patriots. The boys from Coldplay, okay? Because that was Super Bowl 50, and it was a spectacular show. Speed of Sound, one of the greatest songs ever.
Yes, Coldplay, fine, upstanding American citizens, right?
That's what I said.
Yeah, great. Yeah, absolutely, Mr. President. Yeah.
Coldplay, okay? And it will be a cold day in hell before we let Bad Bunny wrestle for the undisputed WWE Championship, which is the belt that I'm currently holding and defending. I am the reigning WWE. They tell me I never held that belt. We're looking into it. We're looking into it right now. I've got a legal team looking into it because I believe this is true that I had the belt, that I was the champion.
Mr. President, maybe they redacted you from the belt history.
This is so sad. This is so sad. You know what? Right now I'm under the weather and that's why I don't look 100%. I've been under the weather, and it's very shameful that I watched the Super Bowl and it gave me bronchitis. It did. It gave me bronchitis. Wow. Okay. They gave me the Puerto Rican Rona. That's what they call it. They call it the Puerto Rican Rona. The little Puerto Rican Rona.
You know, Mr. President, it goes without saying that it was an interesting telecast. Did you have an opportunity to check out the other halftime show?
Well, first of all I have to say is back to the West, the bang to bang, biggie, 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 the up, yep, the boogie, boogie, wiggy, wiggy, till you just can't boogie no more. Okay. That's eloquently said. Thank you. Yeah, it was a good show. It was the Turning Point USA official Super Bowl halftime show. But I honestly had to watch it after the fact. I had to watch it afterwards because I was watching the illegal Super Bowl to look at for any future people to deport. We were watching it, and we had Kristi Noem on standby with a small detachment of elite ICE personnel waiting at the Levi's Arena to find any illegals in the crowd. And what they told me were a lot of the people who are there acting were actually, we're actors. They were all actors. Okay. That was a Ricky Martin lookalike. Okay. The real Ricky Martin is hiding in an undisclosed location, but we'll find him. We will find him and we will get him out of here. Believe it. Believe it.
Yeah, Mr. President, you know, it's calling for the deportations, but it I'll tell you, I'd like for you to hang out with us and as we kind of get through the rest of the show. Would that be okay?
Yeah, we you know what? I think I could spare you 5 more minutes.
Perfect.
Just like Melania, I could give you 5 more minutes.
Because obviously you've got some wonderful hair.
I've got tremendous hair. Thank you for noticing. So many people say this. They go, wow, look at that hair. That's some great hair. That's tremendous hair. And it's not even just me saying that. It's not even just you. It's ESPN saying it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we get into the next segment, we'll talk about somebody who is not as well, how should we say this? Follicularly, somebody who is a bit more follicularly challenged, shall we say?
They're not as good as your coiffed commander in chief.
There we go. All right. All right. So as we take a social media dump, First things first, we have Tommaso Ciampa introducing us to Sylvie. Tommaso Ciampa, the TNT champion in All Elite Wrestling, announcing the birth.
How old is this guy?
I know, right? Announcing that this championship belt, I guess, was born January the 31st, 2026. 5 pounds, 5 ounces, and says that Willow loves her baby sister. Isn't that cute, Mr. President?
Wait a minute. Willow Nightingale is this guy's kid?
No. His daughter is named Willow, completely unrelated.
You're telling me that his daughter is not a pig from Long Island?
I am telling you that. Correct.
Right. The Harley Cameron can stay, though. The other one looks Puerto Rican, and she might have to go, or either that or Ozempic. Okay, oh, maybe some Ozempics in her future. Look, they have to put this is not All Elite. All right, that's not All Elite. Okay, I want All Elite. Okay, where's that Moldavian one? You know, give the Moldavian one, the one from Moldovia. Give her some Marina. Titties and give Marina Shafir. Marina Shafir, put some titties on her and give her the belt, okay?
There you go. President Trump says to give Marina Shafir some titties. And
Tony Khan, give her some titties, okay? And then give her the belt.
Absolutely. So pretty big news for the UK and Ireland. I know how much you're a fan of them, President Trump. HBO Max is set to launch in those markets on March the 26th. So viewership incoming for AEW and its other brands and associated.
Oh, now speaking of AEW, to watch while they get drunk.
Exactly. Speaking of AEW, very, very interesting partnership just announced from Tony Khan. Starting the first night of the NFL draft, Thursday, April 23rd, we will have these masks available on Shop AEW for all 32 teams. I've always wanted this. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. AEW is entering into a partnership with the NFL for Lucha Libre masks for all 32 teams that will be launching on April 23rd. Mr. President, which team are you going to be getting?
I am going to be getting the mask that says ice on it, okay? That's the only mask that I'm going to be getting. The one that says ice. Okay, but go to shopaew.com so we can find a way to get you out of the country faster, okay? Or report to your nearest airport and go back to Guadalajara.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of news that's close to home here for the Vegas Bad Boys, WrestleMania watch-along restrictions, which were just announced this week, are going into effect, and they will be affecting Las Vegas establishments. So the edict has come down that you will not be able to have a watch party. If you are a restaurant, a bar, any other type of a venue, you will not be able to show WrestleMania at said watch party, or if you're anywhere within 50 miles of the event. Again, 50 miles. That's insane. Those are blackout rules that are extremely archaic. And at this point, I mean, we see it for the NFL, but there are also multiple games typically ongoing while that is in effect. But this is arguably the biggest sporting event that's going to be going on that month or even in that part of the year. So for them to, you know, enter these type of restrictions. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of it, President Trump. What say you about these restrictions? Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, speaking of sleep, Mr. President, tell me what the first thing that you see when you look at this shot is.
Well, you know what? It looks like some really empty seats. A lot of empty seats. What are we looking at there? It's a lot of empty seats. This is what
happened. We are looking at.
Is that from the Super Bowl? Is that the, that's from the Super Bowl?
No, sir. That is actually from the Royal Rumble in Riyadh.
Wait a minute. That was a Photoshop picture. I spoke to the crown king, Mohammed bin Salim. He loves me. I love Mr. Salim. And he assures me that those were people who had too much hummus. They had some very cheap hummus, and they were all going to the restrooms. They were taking a hummus shit. That was during the terrible, very horrible Women's Royal Rumble. Which the Women's Royal Rumble started. Everyone got up to take a shit because nobody gives a shit about the women. Well, they give a shit about the women because they all got up to take a shit. What you're seeing there is the women got up and they saw the women get up there and, you know, they went to go take a shit. It's so sad. So sad that everyone had to leave at once. They flooded the pipelines. There was so much shitting going on that they overflowed the pipelines in Riyadh. So sad. So very sad.
Oh, wow.
But they sold out every seat. Believe it. Believe me.
What a difference 5 years can make as we see Trick Williams and Apollo Crews back on AEW. Are you kidding me? On WWE TV. Obviously, March 2021, Trick Williams was one of the attendants for Apollo Crews. And now Trick Williams is a full-fledged member of the main roster, and Apollo Crews as well in catering.
What I see in that picture is a travesty. That is a guy who is part of a Somali death squad that is trying to infiltrate America and make it not great again. These people need to be rooted out. We need to take about root and stem. That is a Somali death squad member. And Apollo Crews is too. We take it, Apollo Crews. We got rid of his spear. Look at that. He's carrying a spear. He's carrying an evil spear. Okay. I'm not going to say what they call those people. Okay. They call them SCs. I'm not going to say it. It's because they'll get in trouble. But you've got to get these people out root and stem. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats and they're eating the dogs. And we got to get them out. We got to get these people out of here. These are really dangerous, dangerous, dangerous hombres. Believe me. Believe me. Okay. With his lemon pepper steppers. Okay. Just because, you know, they're telling you what they're seasoning the dogs with, lemon and peppers, okay? Think about it. He's telling you how he's doing it. Okay, gotta get him out of it. We gotta get him out of here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Tom Holman's looking into it.
Absolutely. And you know, as far as this and talking about to some rough hombres, Mr. President. What do you think about Cody Raheem Rhodes?
I remember Dusty Rhodes. And just like his father, he pulls bitches, okay? He pulls the bitches and they're from the South, okay? Send him to Atlanta, all right? Look at his wife, too. Look at him. He pulls them. He likes it brown. He likes junk in the trunk. And if you see Brandi Rhodes, there's a reason she walks around bow-legged. Okay, believe it. Believe it, okay? He's from the South. He's got a cornbread hog. That's what they tell me. That is, he's got some milk fed. He's got some, I mean, it's got to be huge. It's got to be a tremendous penis. It's got to be a large penis. It's got to be the biggest one, the blackest one. It's just a penis like never before seen. Believe me. Believe me, okay? That daughter's got nappy hair. Believe it. Believe it, all right?
And you know, obviously, this is the internet went crazy after Cody's promo on SmackDown, where he cited the fact that, you know, they're both glad that I'm not in it because I didn't get the nickname Raheem for no reason. So obviously, making the jokes, it's good because this is something that's been in the internet lexicon of Cody Rhodes's character for some time, and now he's made it canon. Speaking of things that you just can't believe unless you see it, we talked about WrestleMania, and during WrestleMania weekend, Yes, ECW alumni The Sandman will be having his final match at Joey Janela's Spring Break 10 against The Invisible Man. Yeah. Yeah. The Sandman wrestling against The Invisible Man. Tickets on sale now. Yeah, it should be interesting. And also, I don't know if it's been this way for everybody that's been watching AEW TV, but ever since Tommaso Ciampa has shown up, that fucking entrance theme has been cranked up on repeat and in the stereo. My Shadow Knows My Story. And excellent road music. Excellent road music.
Hold on, by the grace of God and vitamins, the color's coming back to my skin. Look at that. I feel healthier already.
Look at you.
And the calls are coming in. These people want to know why the Super Bowl was so shitty. It was a terrible Super Bowl. Oh, look at that. Put that back on again. Oh, look at that. I like dark meat. Oh, my God. Hold on. Does anyone have a stick of butter? Just stick of butter. That's all I'm saying. Just give me a stick of butter. Okay. Stick of butter. And we'll
stop. I stopped President Trump in his tracks, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what that looks like? It looks like a rotisserie chicken. Is that Boston Market? Wow. Can I take that home with a 6-piece?
I don't know. You might have to fight Brandon Phillips for that.
Who? He's a fucking loser. He's a nobody. He's a nobody. He's a loser. He hasn't been relevant in a long time. He has no rings. He's won nothing, okay? I've won the presidency of the United States 3 times, and I'll make her pussy great again.
There we go. And
God.
I'll take Tiffany Stratton. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Excuse me. It's Donnie time.
Mr. President, you need to incorporate that. It is Donnie time, I'm sure.
It's Donnie time, okay?
Tiffany Stratton is one of one. But also Jada Parker is making some waves since she's been on WWE programming as of late.
That looks like a flotation device. What did she do? Take the cushions out of the airplane seat and stuff them in her cheeks?
I'm sure she did.
God.
I'm sure she did. And we also... The ever so enchanting Sky Blue from AEW. So a little bit of a glimpse into some things, and somebody that used to be in AEW but is now
they
with call the, next
the triangle of madness because they want me so bad and they can't have me.
Speaking of somebody who's mad, the former Mariah May. Currently, Blake Monroe in NXT. Yeah, man. Interesting stuff. I want to see more from Blake Monroe, both not just in terms of her character.
I want to see less on Blake Monroe.
In terms of other things as well. Yes, absolutely.
Can we just bring back the Thanksgiving Mud Wrestling? Whatever happened to the Thanksgiving Mud Wrestling? And then you fight for a butterfly belt. What was wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. That's what America was great.
Dare I say, Mr. President, you could easily sign an executive order mandating that we bring that back.
Or just come out in brawn panties. You don't even have to wrestle. You just come out in brawn panties and just walk out to the ring. It'll be a tremendous match with me. It'll be you versus me for your panties. You know, all that would... Me versus Blake Monroe for her garter belt. Okay, let's make that happen. Tony Khan, Nick Khan, somebody with a Khan in their name, make that happen.
Absolutely. And as we wind it down, Mr. President, maybe you could kind of give your boy, the Vegas Trump guy, a little bit of a rub and tell his fans where they might be able to run into him this week and where they can contact him on his socials.
This week, it's going to be a tremendous week, and we're going to put Sin City Steve on the spot. We want to see him in the crowd, and Matt Michaels, too, if he can. We're having a tremendous show. This is a show like never before seen. Wednesday at the Vintage Vegas Cocktail Lounge, 1227 South Main Street in Las Vegas. That's only three blocks from the Stratosphere. Wow. Off Charleston. Okay, off Charleston, you got Main Street. Can't make a right turn on Main Street, so you got to take one of the other streets. You've got parking in the back. You've got parking in front. There's parking everywhere. There's food everywhere. It's a basic food across the street, down the street, and then in a month, they're going to have their own tiki restaurant in the back. This is going to be one of the greatest shows starring yours truly and Mike Stiggs and Ray Earl, Lex Las Vegas, Dan Hall, and I forgot to put an L in there, but Dylan Russell as well at the Vintage Vegas Comedy Showcase, okay? Do not miss this, and it's hosted by Stella. Stella's tremendous. And then soon she will be stripping and doing her burlesque show there the following night, every Thursday night. Show date, the first show will be announced soon, so stay tuned for that. And she's that the bitch down the block. But you can find me at Vegas Trump Guy. You want to see this show. This is an incredible show. An incredible show. One of the greatest shows, the biggest shows, and the funniest show. Believe it. Believe it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I plan on being there for the next one. So I look forward to seeing each and every one of you there. Speaking of, I'd like to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing what you do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country. Whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com.
I did not pee-pee myself.
Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, that's repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%. Mr. President, mission accomplished, dare I say, right? Yeah. Something like that.
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.